Up next, Matthew Hart examines our love for gold, which goes back to ancient times and has become the world's most precious commodity. Later on, we will talk about the FDA's proposed rule that would ban an active ingredient in many antibacterial soaps after recent studies showed that the chemical may disrupt our endocrine system. During our Food Friday series, lots of experts and chefs have shared their tips and shortcuts, and now we have invite you to participate tomorrow. Chris Kimball from Cooks Illustrated, host of America's Test Kitchen on television, will join us to hear what you have learned from your years in the kitchen. And you can share your tips and shortcuts now by going to WNYC.org/Food Fridays. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter.
WNYC receives support from Bank Street Bookstore, a bookstore for and about children, featuring the Polar Express Story Hour, Saturday, December 21st at 10:30 a.m., Broadway and 112th Street. More at bankstreetbooks.com. Elizabeth A. Sackler Center for Feminist Art at the Brooklyn Museum, now on view, twice militant, Lorraine Hansberry's Letters to the Ladder, exploring the playwright's connection to the ladder, the first U.S. subscription-based lesbian publication. More at brooklynmuseum.org. WNYC's immigration coverage is supported in part by the Rockefeller Brothers Fund.
WNYC and WQXR present the classic holiday ghost story, A Christmas Carol, featuring Tony Roberts as Scrooge.
Humbug, humbug, humbug.
And a cast of your favorite WNYC and WQXR hosts.
I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me.
With music by John Forster and sound effects by A Prairie Home Companion's Fred Newman. Saturday at 10 a.m. on 93.9 FM WNYC.
Humans have been infatuated with gold for at least 6,000 years, and we've used it to decorate our most sacred buildings, jewelry, works of art. It's been the foundation for many of the world's largest economies. Gold prices have fluctuated over the centuries, but since the financial crash in 2008, we have seen a demand for it that rivals the gold rush of the 1850s. Matthew Hart explores this love affair in his new book called Gold, The Race for the World's Most Seductive Metal. It is published by Simon & Schuster, and I'm very pleased it has brought him to our show. Hello.
Hello.
You give a startling account of your visit, and I'm not sure I know how to pronounce this gold mine, the Mponeng gold mine in South Africa, the deepest man-made hole on Earth. How deep is it?
Well, it's 2.5 miles deep. It's quite a journey to get down to the bottom. The day I went there, we arrived in this sort of briefing room, and they kit you out in a miner's outfit, and they gave me this little aluminum cylinder called a self-rescue kit. And the idea of rescuing myself from a mine 2.5 miles deep was sort of a concept I hadn't grappled with, and I wasn't very comfortable with. But the journey down is quite a long journey. 2.5 miles is roughly 10 times the height of the Empire State Building.
And then you say there are more miles of tunnels in that gold mine than there are in the New York subway system.
There's about 300 miles of tunnels, ore chutes, haulage ways. It's like a huge underground city. In fact, for a New Yorker, if you can picture the whole of the Upper West Side tilted up on its end and towering so that you're standing down at 59th Street and it's towering up into the sky above you, that would be about the extent of the Mponeng mine.
How long has it been in operation, and how much gold has it produced?
Well, it's been in operation from the 19th century. Not that deep, and the amount of gold fluctuates. But last year, they produced almost $1 billion worth of gold. Now, that's a mine 2.5 miles deep, 4,000 miners in it. It's an absolutely furnace-like environment.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like working in a pizza oven. The rock face is like 140 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the temperature of the rock. They cool it by pumping down this big they make 6,000 tons of ice a day in a plant on the surface. Push that ice down to a reservoir, blow fans across it and try to cool it. They get the working tunnels down to about maybe 90 degrees. So that is all to mine an ore seam that is only 30 inches high.
But would that suggest that Many abandoned gold mines could be reopened if we just were willing to go deep enough.
Well, I think
this suggests there's a lot of gold 2.5 miles below the surface.
Well, there is a lot of gold because they mined $1 billion worth. I think what makes it worth digging for gold is purely the price. I mean, it's worth digging if gold is at a certain price, not worth digging if gold is at another price. And now that the price is softening a little bit, it's making it harder for them to make money. However, they're not the only people in that mine. The legitimate miners working for the company aren't the only people underground.
You say there are a group called ghost miners who live in the mines for months at a time so that they can steal gold and coal?
Exactly. All of the gold mines in South Africa are overrun. They're host to huge populations of thieves. In these deep mines, it takes a great deal to introduce and infiltrate the miners past the security. So since it's difficult to get them in and out of the mine, once they're under, they tend to stay for a long time.
How did they get their gold out?
They refine the gold underground because there are 300 miles of tunnels. So this huge population of illegal miners can often go undetected, or even if they are detected and the security knows where they're hiding out, they don't go after them because they're mined and it's very dangerous. So the security often are not paid enough to go and confront these miners. So using very, very toxic means, for example, mercury, they'll refine the ore they steal down to a kind of concentrate, and that's what they smuggle out. And it amounts to a lot of money.
Does this mean that South Africa has most of the gold's resources right now?
No. South Africa, the great gold deposits around the city of Johannesburg, the Witwatersrand, that series of gold deposits has supplied 40% of all the gold ever mined in history. But South Africa, as many other gold-producing countries, have been completely eclipsed in recent years by China. China is now far and away the largest gold producer in the world.
Although they have small mines. It's kind of like the American West in the old days.
Yeah, that's exactly like that. They don't have a single large gold mine. They have tens of thousands of small mines and illegal mines. And the illegal mines operate generally by bribing local officials or by simply being better armed than the local police.
Do we know where gold was first mined, when it first became something that people treasured?
Well, we do know that in Thrace, in ancient Thrace, the area that lies to the north of present-day Greece, people were mining gold very long ago. And we didn't understand, no one knew how long men had been mining gold and making gold jewelry until 1972. When a backhoe operator in the town of Varna on the Black Sea accidentally unearthed a Neolithic tomb and inside found this beautiful treasure of tiny gold objects, beautifully made, carved little things, 6,000 years old.
Well, one of the reasons that gold could have been appreciated 6,000 years ago is that it's easy to work. It's pretty and it's easy to work. It's a lot harder to make iron and bronze.
Yeah, if you have to speculate as to what attracted them, that's definitely the answer. They would have seen something lovely, it doesn't corrode, and they could fashion it into these beautiful objects.
What's the most common use of gold today?
Investment is the most common use today. That's what really drove the price. When the financial crisis began in 2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed, well, in the next 3 years, less than 3 years, the gold price rocketed from $800 an ounce to almost $1,900 an ounce as frightened money poured into the oldest safe haven asset in the world.
Well, at $1,900 an ounce, I'm assuming that it's going to go down rather than go up. It was probably a bargain when it was a lot lower, but it's to some degree driven by panic and people like Glenn Beck?
Well, gold does love a panic. It gold dines on fear. And certainly hucksters like Glenn Beck and people like him played on that and developed all kinds of products. Gold became as easy to order as a pizza. You could have gold delivered to your front door, and you still can. But part of that drove the price of gold. But, of course, Now that the economy is recovering, its price is tending to soften a bit.
My guest is Matthew Hart. His latest book is Gold, The Race for the World's Most Seductive Metal. Well, much of the world's economy was based on the gold standard until fairly recently. How did the gold standard function internationally?
Well, basically the gold standard worked by providing people with certainty about the worth of the paper money that it backed up. So since they knew that paper money at a knowable rate was convertible into gold, they knew exactly what it was worth.
Well, a dollar bill could have been converted in theory. I remember reading it on the bill. It's no longer there. But I can't imagine anybody actually went to Fort Knox and said, here, I have $10,000. Give me $10,000 worth of gold.
No, it was convertible for other central bankers, other people who had. It was always legal tender in the United States. So if you went in and to cash in your dollar, they'd give you back a dollar. But what happened in 1971, when Nixon took the United States off the gold standard, thereby ending the gold standard in globally, he just made it, but by fiat, declared that from now on, if you come to the Treasury window to cash in your dollar, no matter who you are, you get a dollar back.
Well, actually, there had been an earlier adjustment during the Great Depression, hadn't there been?
Yes, there had been. There were always adjustments in the gold price. And also, for a while, gold was illegal for Americans to own.
Well, what was the reaction of people when the Roosevelt administration changed the rules, and then later when Nixon changed the rules?
Well, generally, horror. The conservative people were extremely alarmed at what Roosevelt would do. Would he take the country off the gold standard? He undermined the gold price hugely with the help of his Treasury Secretary. I think Nixon managed to sell the complete annihilation of the gold standard to the American public as a patriotic act designed to preserve the American dollar from speculators who were, after all, who didn't want the American dollar, were cashing the American dollar in at unprecedented rates. Gold was gushing out of Fort Knox, and it was to prevent that from completely emptying the gold reserve that Nixon took his action and ended the convertibility.
Although there are always people who are suspicious of paper money. We have the popularity of the Bitcoin right now. And on the TV show Parks and Recreation, there's a character, Ron Swanson, who refuses to open a bank account, keeps all of his wealth in gold buried in the woods. Did people actually do that?
Well, I guess people have always hoarded gold and kept gold bullion in safe deposit boxes and things like that. But, you know, gold isn't very easy to spend in the world as we know it. For instance, if you were to walk in to buy a car and plunk down a couple of gold ingots, what would the reaction be? How does a guy know it's gold? What's gold worth? It's not the same as cash. It's pretty complicated metal, really.
Has this current gold rush led to the reopening of mines in the American West?
Oh, it certainly led to the reopening of mines at various places in the world. This gold rush was unlike any other. You were speaking earlier about California and the, in the California gold rush, 850 tons of bullion was mined in 10 years. Today, we mine 850 tons of bullion in the world at large in 4 months.
Is that because of technological advances?
It's because of technological advances and just because of the sheer scale of mining, gold mining now, because the gold price is so high, people are anxious to exploit the reserve. With a higher gold price, it creates reserves. In other words, something that was dirt yesterday is now a gold mine because of the gold price.
You're right that crime and gold go hand in hand. What was the most extravagant story you heard?
Well, there was a great robbery in England, the Brinksmat robbery, where thieves arrived at the Brinksmat warehouse at Heathrow Airport, west of London, with a key. Mad Mickey McAvoy was the hood who led this charge. His brother-in-law had given him a key. Inside the depot, they expected to find £4 million in paper money. Instead, they found 6,800 gold ingots. And the story of how they tried to convert that into cash and launder it is a blood-soaked and tragic story for the robbers. They all ended up dead, stabbed in prison, or as one was, chopped into little bits and buried under a building.
But they must have freaked out when they saw the gold, because it's a lot easy to run away very quickly with paper money, but gold is heavy.
Yeah, the first thing they had to
and bulky.
Do, the first thing they had to do was find a van. They had arrived in a car. They had to find a van.
And as I understand it, 2/3 of that stolen gold was never found?
No, it's still missing. Absolutely. They've recovered, if they've recovered a third, the rest is, most of it is certainly still missing.
I'm assuming a lot of it has already been converted into jewelry.
Well, in fact, you're absolutely
right. I see all those commercials
right.
on television. Maybe the price of those Zales rings should be a lot lower.
That's right, because the acquisition cost was low. But, a lot of it's in wedding rings and jewelry and spread through the world. Like gold that's been mined all through history. You may be wearing Roman gold, Nazi gold, or gold that was robbed in the Brinksmat robbery.
You've written about diamonds in the past, your previous book, Now Gold. Is your next book going to be on jade?
Well, that's an idea.
Well, the reason I ask is because we assign this value to these things, diamond and gold and jade. The jade was considered even more valuable by Chinese people and also by people in Mesoamerica than gold. It was the Europeans who were looking for gold. The Mexicans, as far as I understand, the Aztecs said, great, take the gold, leave us the jade.
You're absolutely right. They couldn't understand the European kind of fever to get this one single asset. They valued, as you say, jade and certain kinds of feathers more than gold. So it's not necessarily a universal object in history is at the top of the asset chain.
Matthew Hart is a journalist, author of 7 books, including Diamond. His work has appeared in the Atlantic Monthly, Granta, the Times of London, the Financial Post magazine, and he's been a contributing editor of the New York trade magazine Rappaport Diamond Report. His latest book is called Gold, The Race for the World's Most Seductive Metal. It is published by Simon Schuster. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
Goldfinger, he's the man.